This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank on the 1st of August, 2024. And the Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. Stop by your local branch, too. On the podcast today, C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson on the news, including a Central Indiana crop update and athlete protein shortages at the Paris Olympics. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says more thunderstorms could pop up, but a good weekend is coming. And yesterday, bean and wheat futures posted small gains, corn lower again. We have market analysis with Tom Fritz on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
A crop update from Central Indiana and the Olympic athletes in Paris facing a shortage of food. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, according to the latest USDA crop progress update, 70% of Indiana's corn and 69% of the state's soybeans are rated in good to excellent condition.
Well, I would say in our area, that's probably pretty accurate.
And that's David Lawson, who farms just south of Shelbyville in Shelby County, Indiana.
I think our crops had the advantage of good weather. Most of the time, we haven't gotten too much rain and haven't had too many dry stints. So from what I've seen in the surrounding counties, they look pretty good.
Has there been any sign of tar spot in his immediate area?
No, there have been some people talk about, you know, they've seen some, but a very limited amount and nothing that in my area that everybody's talking about.
But Lawson says he still has some disease pressure.
Well, we've definitely got some gray leaf spot, and we have that every year, it seems like, in one degree or another. And there's some southern rust that's moved into the southern part of the county, so we've tried to keep an eye on that. We have some later planted corn due to a couple tiling projects. We still have some fungicide to put on those two fields. But other than that, I think it's really random. The pressure seems to be commensurate with the amount of rain we've had in some areas. And our county has had really varying amounts of rainfall throughout the summer so far. So you really see a lot of different circumstances.
Looking ahead to harvest, Lawson says the continued drop in grain prices are a major concern.
Years like this, it's very difficult. I feel like that's one of the toughest jobs we have is trying to market this grain.
Check out much more of my conversation with Shelby County farmer David Lawson. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, have you been watching the Summer Olympics this past week? Oh my goodness, there's been no shortage of some amazing athletic competition, especially when it comes to swimming and gymnastics. But the one thing, though, there is a shortage of for the athletes in Paris is food, especially animal proteins. Sabrina Halverson has more.
According to reports from the BBC as well as French news outlets, athletes at the Olympic Games in Paris are saying there's not enough food available in food courts, specifically when it comes to eggs and meats.
The Olympic organizers have been pushing greater consumption of plant-based proteins in addition to their cardboard beds and lack of air conditioning.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association Executive Director of Government Affairs Kent Bacchus says that problem started when Olympic organizers attempted to have a more climate-friendly event in Paris.
This has led to a shortage of animal-based proteins, and some of the athletes are notably upset and have started voicing concerns. And unfortunately, the organizers underestimated the consumption of proteins by these world-class athletes and the need for animal-based proteins to fuel these high-performance athletes.
It is estimated that the Olympic Village will serve approximately 13 million meals during the Olympic and Paralympic Games, feeding more than 15,000 international athletes over two 15-day periods.
And so when the Olympic organizers looked at all this, they looked at London in 2012 and they said, we want to do better than the British. We want to half the climate impact of this and the carbon footprint from the meals. And so they decided arbitrarily that they were going to push a lot of this plant-based proteins. They were going to reduce the animal-based proteins. They're doing that thinking that animal-based proteins are a bigger contributor to climate change and other things like that. But a lot of the decision-making was not really founded on science.
Adding to the challenges, protein products such as meat, milk, and eggs are all being sourced locally from France as part of the attempt to reduce the overall carbon footprint of the Paris Olympic Games. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eile steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
Showers and thunderstorms trying to pop up across Indiana today and tomorrow. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've been talking about thunderstorms all week. Admittedly, the first part of the week was a lot more spotty than maybe what we were looking for. The focal point had been farther west and southwest. Here today and tomorrow, the focal point does become more Indiana, Illinois, and then Ohio. The eastern part of the Corn Belt is definitely getting better moisture potential. Combined today, tomorrow, I think we can still see anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of moisture, depending on where you're at and depending on what strength of thunderstorm you see. I do think that everything's done by sunrise or shortly thereafter on Saturday morning. The weekend at this point looks pretty nice. Saturday and Sunday should be mostly sunny and dry, a little bit less humid, but I don't want to get your hopes up too much for a super pleasant round of weather. Getting into next week, Monday stays dry as well. We do have some moisture streaking across the upper Midwest late Monday into Tuesday, so I'm going to have to watch for a few hit and miss showers or thunderstorms in northern parts of Indiana as we move into the early part of next week. But I don't think it's anything that does the entire state wrong. Moving forward, a strong frontal boundary sags through for the Wednesday-Thursday time frame. We may not see the best moisture here. Still working on that, trying to come together. There's a significant cluster in the upper Midwest, but it dissipates as the front moves south. What I'm really zeroing in on is cooler, less humid air that's going to be here next Thursday and Friday. So yes, I think we see some moisture ahead of it. Still working on what kind of moisture it turns out to be. But we're cooler, less humid, and very comfortable for next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at this point. I think we see temperatures warm up for that second full week of August, though. It's not a long-term dry stretch. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
In Indiana, the lieutenant governor is also the state secretary of agriculture. This means the new lieutenant governor that we will elect this November will have a big impact on your farming operation and on the state's agriculture. The three candidates vying for this position will participate in a live debate on agriculture August 13th at 3 p.m. at the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Ag Today will live stream this debate on our website, mobile app, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. Get all the details at HoosierAgToday.com.
Corn down and lower beans and wheat do a turnaround to finish just to the high side. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, and I'll have settlements coming up. We begin with market analysis, which I grabbed at the end of the session from Tom Fritz, EFG Group. Tom, we started with a sell-off across the board, but some late short covering maybe, and a few cent gains in soybeans and wheat to end the session. But certainly, at the levels we've seen beans dip to, that's not a real exciting move.
No, none of this is very exciting. Well, put it this way. If we have a market that's trying to do something, I'll say it's wheat futures. For the last 3 days, we beat it up early, and then there's short covering in the latter half of the day. That's been consistent with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We really haven't gone anywhere, but they do try to beat on it early, and the market manages to have a decent comeback during the day. Have we gone anywhere? No. But I get the impression that from a technical standpoint, wheat futures are trying to say we've gone low enough. We don't have a whole lot of business. There is a little bit of global business going on. You go over to Europe, the Europeans are worried about the French wheat crop. They're saying it's going to be the lowest in, since the 80s. And it's probably 10 million tons below their average. But Russian prices, they stay depressed. They haven't gone lower in the last week, 10 days or so, but they just stay depressed. So, the attitude is, well, maybe they're done going down. So you apply that to the price action that we see here. Well, maybe they're done going down. But does that make a bullish, a market bullish? No, not at all. So. But, you look at the other markets, soybeans, new lows today, but they managed a little bit of short covering. Thank you very much, soybean oil. A lot of political innuendo going on in the soybean oil market with an appellate court saying that the EPA was out of line by saying no to the small refiners as to how much vegetable oil they'd have to use in their fuel mix. That beat up the bean oil market, but it's managed to come back a little bit just from technical oversold. I think it helped out the soybean market a little bit. Meal hasn't been much help, but cash prices for meal continue to be quite strong, whereas you look at interior prices for soybeans, they're quite weak, and you look at what the spreads have done in soybeans, it's indicative that we've seen a fair amount of old crop cash soybean selling. And I think it's, a lot of folks are starting to realize that given the forecasts that we have, that, the big time damaging heat and dryness that we were forecasting a week ago is just, we're going to see some, but it's not going to last more than 5 days. So bottom line is, the soybean crop appears to be non-threatened. And speaking of non-threatened, look at the corn market. New contract lows across the board. Spreads continue to widen out. I think we've seen a fair amount of old crop corn selling. That usually happens when the producer sees successful pollination. And the forecasts say there's going to be ample enough moisture around in August that kernel filling will be okay. So taking all this one step forward, August 12th, the USDA is going to give us their first field survey look at corn and soybeans. And a lot of chatter is yields will be right around trend line yield, if not a little bit better. And I can't recall the last time that the first season look at the crop came anywhere close to trend line yield. You know, it was earlier this year, people kept saying, you know, trend line yield, 181 million bushels corn to the acre. Well, we've never come close to that. So, you know, how could that be? Well, guess what? Right now we appear to be close to that, if not there. There are some folks trying to think that, yield could be a little bit better than that. And the same story holds true with soybeans. In that August 12th report, there might be some tweaking to harvested acres, but I think further tweaking to harvested acres will come on subsequent reports. Normally, the first report of the season with acres, the FSA is not fully up to speed. So, I'm not looking for any major acreage changes on this report, even though USDA, their NAS arm, National Association of Statistics or Agricultural Statistics, whatever they call themselves, said they will be looking at acres on this report, but they rely on information from Farm Services, and I don't think Farm Services, has all their numbers compiled yet. But still, maybe a little bit of an offsetting issue if they do decide to cut a few acres. But bottom line is, our crops are looking good. Weather appears to be non-threatening. So we've got a scenario that we've got plentiful supply and not enough demand. We continue to lose out on wheat business to our overseas competition. Corn, we lose out to Brazil and Argentina. Soybeans, we lose out to Brazil, a little bit of Argentina. I know Argentine producer selling has been slow. They say, well, their producers don't like the prices. Well, neither do our producers. But, I have seen a fair amount of old crop cash selling, and basically that tells me that the producer is starting to realize he's got a pretty good new crop coming on.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis, Tom, with EFG Group in Chicago. Now the Wednesday settlements, September corn, 382 3/4, down 6 cents. December goes under $4, 399 3/4, a nickel and a quarter lower. March 415 3/4, 4.5 cents off. In beans, a penny and a quarter up on the August, 10.28 1/2, September up 3.5, 10.14 1/2, and a penny and a quarter up Novi beans, 10.22 1/2. September wheat up 3.25, 5.27 1/4. Meats mixed, October live cattle, 186.67, down 77 cents, but October lean hogs, 75.92, up $1.15. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.